We're going to receive our tithes and offerings this morning. I was thinking, I can't wait to get to church to give. And you might say, well, I don't really think of that too often. And a lot of times I don't think of that. But, you know, last week we talked about something. There's a statement that the Lord was talking to me about. A thought unanswered is a seed planted. How many know what I'm talking about? How many of you know that the enemy, he's always working to sow seeds into your and my heart, into your and my life? And so you speak in the word, and being a speaker of the word is one thing, but being a doer word of the word is a whole nother deal. It kind of like, you know, it shuts the enemy up. Amen. And so I was just thinking about that. You know, we had a conversation yesterday, my wife and I, and pretty much I did most of the talking. You ever have one of those conversations? And my iPad's stuck upside down. We had this conversation, and the conversation was about, on my end, was about finances. Anybody ever had a conversation, a one-sided conversation? And the one-sided conversation was me complaining. Anybody had that? And me complaining is just me testifying to what the enemy's doing. And so I overcome by what God, by the blood, it says that I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. So I can either, I'm coming into something. This is what I would say. I'm coming into something based upon what my testimony is. How many of you know your testimony can either set you free or put you behind bars? And we were at camp, and we were talking about this yesterday after I decided to vent for probably a good 2 minutes, you know. And you know how many of you know you can get a lot of things out that you shouldn't even be saying in 2 minutes, especially when you're on a roll. And you say things that you haven't even ever said before. You've had a thought, but that thought wasn't answered, so therefore it was in you. See, it's planted. And so now something's coming out, and the enemy wants to take that. He's like, all right, I got him. But there's something powerful about somebody answering back with the word of God. And thank God for a wife that does that. One's weak, well, the other one's strong. Thank you, Lord. But anyway, and so talking about that, it's like, you know what? You're right. You know. It was interesting to talk about that. All right, what is this? Is this silly putty? No, who is it? Oh, it's makeup. Darn! I was like, that's cool. All right. I would have silly putty. I always have something with me to click or do something like that. But anyway, so he said, you know, we should keep our tongue from evil. You know, that's what the Bible tells us, to keep our tongue from evil. And evil's not just cussing. Right. Doubt and unbelief. And I remember, I stayed home. They went shopping for the tax-free weekend. It was a busy week on my end. And so I think, you know, sometimes when you feel like you're feeling like you want to be doing something else, how many of you know what I'm talking about? But you're doing something that you need to be doing. You kind of get frustrated. You know what I'm talking about? And we just was reminded of that very thing. And so I wanted to bring a word this morning for tithes and offerings that just really ministered to me. All right? And this is in 1 Kings 17, 7 through 16. Again, if you're giving this morning, you can prepare your offering envelopes on the seats in front of you, all that stuff, or give online. I know we have a lot of people that do that. But it says this: it happened after a while that the brook dried up. And because there had been no rain in the land, again, this is This is Elijah. Elijah, there's a drought going on, and he says this. It says, it happened after a while that the brook dried up. This is the place that God had led him, because there was no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, get up. He said, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little cup of water that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread. Only a handful of flour in a bin and a little jar of oil, and see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. I want to stop right there. It's amazing how powerful the voice of lack is. Isn't it? You ever have that voice of lack talk to you? I mean, it'll jack you up. Well, one side down the other. That's what was messing with me yesterday. There was the voice of lack. The voice of lack. We're going to just die. We're just going to die. We're just going to die. We're just going to go in and eat, and we're going to die. I mean, basically, that's how bad my mindset had become. Yet, I wasn't looking at all the things that God had done. I didn't realize all that I had had. But this is what lack does. When all you can see, this is all I have. But he goes on to say this. It says, and Elijah said to her, "Don't fear." Okay. How many of you know lack is the voice of fear? Of your, what you're not going to have, what you're not going to have. They're not going to have this. You're not going to have that. And he says, "Don't fear, but go and do as you have said. But make me a small cake first. Give me the first part. Give me the first, and bring it to me. And afterwards, make some for yourself and your son. And thus says the Lord God of Israel: The bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, according to the word of God. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord. According to the word of the Lord. I'll just say this. A word from God will always sustain you. Always. And so we just got to remember that. A word from God will always sustain you. Get back out the word that God has. And you know what I found? I began to think back. And she, as we had the talk, and she began to say, "What about this? What about this word? What about when God did this? What about when God made a way this way? What about when God made a way this way? What about then? What about then? What about here? What about here? What about here? What about here?" I think we have a whole lot of what about here's that we haven't been talking about because we're just looking at what's in the bin instead of who holds the bin, who owns the hills and the cattle there. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I'm telling you what. And so I was just like, I'm so excited to be here at church this morning just to sow again. I'm not going to give what I know I'm supposed to give because why would I eat my seed? You know what I mean? And never have we done that. But it was like, it was that strong yesterday. And I just thought, you know what? Even just the enemy, and again, went back to last week and we were talking about this. Why? Why is this? It's spiritual. It's spiritual. The enemy's after your harvest. If there's no seed in the ground, there's two things. You're not positioned for a harvest. And the other thing is this. The devourer is not rebuked for your sake. So the Bible says. And I'll tell you what, there's something about holding on to the word of God. There's something about when we it's like, I'm holding on to the word of God and believing God for something. You know, and we were talking about this. And I know this is the offering message and this is taking a little longer. We were talking about this. What are you believing God for? Why are we believing for what we haven't asked for? You know, we get back and we were talking about getting back out again, you know, it can be a week, it could be a day, it could be a month, but getting back out again, you know, what does it look like to honor the Lord this year? You know, God's honored when you believe that he's as big as he says he is. Amen. Do you know when he's honored that when you believe that he's as good as he says he is? I'm telling you what, get that back out. And we talked about that. It's like one thing, we got to be doing this as a family, coming together. If two agree touching anything, he says it'll be done for them. So what are we in agreement for? Are you believing for something? Are you believing, Lord, I thank you that you're, you know, what are you in agreement for? Get God's word, what he's saying for you, okay? Don't just go believing for it, whatever. What is he telling you? What is he saying? What has he placed in your heart? And say, Lord, I thank you for this. I can be about your business because you're about my business right now. And so we just come and we come together in agreement for maybe you're needing a car. Maybe you're needing something. It's a need. You know, he's a good father, and he knows the needs you have before you even ask him. That means he has something up in store. He's just waiting for you to ask. So, Father, right now, we ask you for whatever it is concerning this. And because we've asked you, we know that you're a good father. And if we ask for a fish, you don't give us a snake. Or if we ask for bread, you don't give us a stone. And because we've asked, we thank you, Lord. We just cast all that care on you. And we're going to be about your business. And you can continue to add to us. We don't need to be caring for all the things that the world cares for. It's just a distraction. And we refuse to be distracted. We refuse to have our eyes pulled to the left and the right, but instead to fix our eyes. To fix our eyes on what you've called us to. And you will take care. So this morning, just close your eyes. We just cast our care on you this morning, the whole of our care. And we say thank you for caring for us. And Lord, this morning, I declare the blessing of the Lord over this church, over this house, over every bank account, finances, jobs. We will lend and not borrow. Thank you, Father, because of what you have done. And we just tell you this morning that we trust you. We take these tithes and these offerings, we lift them to you, Lord. We give them to you and we commit them to your work and to your service. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Lord, I want to give you guys a testimony real quick of God moving. A couple weeks ago now, it's been 2 weeks, Pastor Mark and Trina Hankins were with us. How many of you know? And they had been, they have a grandchild, little Dylan. They have two kids, a son and a daughter, and it's their daughter's little boy, little four-year-old little man. And 5 weeks ago, he was diagnosed with leukemia. Cancer was all through his entire body at whatever, like, you know, the big stage and all that. And so they were surprised that he was even alive. And so, you know, they didn't give him a lot of hope, a whole lot of chance, you know. And so, you know, and actually they're pastors of a church, the parents of this little guy. And church rallied around him and just, you know, prayed over the little guy and just stood the stand of faith, or took the stand and fought the fight. And, you know, fought the fight. And good 3 weeks goes on, still fighting the fight. Not looking like a whole lot's changing. And you remember Miss Trina and Pastor Mark and that day about opening up your mouth again, you know, and she's like, that's so good. And we went out to lunch with them, and she said, something changed in us, something changed. It's changing. It's a turnaround day. Today is a turnaround day. And then you remember, how many of you remember, it was just amazing, just so many things happening even that evening in people's hearts and just turnarounds. Two days ago, and so everything, all of a sudden, things started turning around, and within 2 weeks, so this is, he just got dismissed from the hospital, 100% cancer-free. Four-year-old little boy. Yeah. Woo! And I'll tell you what, that's awesome, isn't it? Glory to God. And anyway, kicking the devil's hiney. And you know what? If you don't quit, don't quit. So this morning we got 3 more weeks. This one, another one, and one more of a fairy tale series. And I've really loved this series because we're just using what would be Disney movies or Pixar movies or whatever, modern day, what would be what you could call parables, stories. And how many of you know stories are powerful? Jesus was a great storyteller. He had people hanging on the story about the, whether it's a parable of the talents or about the guy, the one that owned the vineyard or whatever. And so this morning we're going to hear another story. We're going to hear a story about what, in a sense, the life, just life. And so this morning we're gonna show the movie Up. And I took some time to get it put together, and it's a little bit longer than what I thought I really wanted, but I didn't want to cut anything else out of it. I cut it down as far as I could to tell the story. And so if that religious devil on the inside is like, we're in church watching a Disney movie, why did I come to church to watch a Disney movie? Just I'd say this: God's going to use the foolish things to confound you, wise guy, because I believe he really will. And I'm really, really certain in my heart about this message, because this is a message for us. It's a message for the church. It's a message of this, that, you know, God is a generational God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God is a God that's about destinies as well. And every one of you here, every one of us here have been created for such a time as this. And so there, because, in other words, I'm here with you for a reason. 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 And there's something, there's a connection. There's something that I carry that oftentimes I'm completely unaware of. But you might be aware of it. But I might not know, and because I'm not aware of it, I'm not giving it, I'm not imparting it. I'm going through life trying to get somewhere. I'm looking for a feeling that a picture promises, but the thing about it is the picture will never bring what it promises. And that promise of any picture, it could be a corner office, it could be a house, it could be a car, it will never bring what it promises, and that's fulfillment. And so I want you to just kind of watch a picture of a story. What oftentimes we get caught up in life, and then I believe it paints a picture of something else. It's kind of a hope, a reason. And so I want you to sit back and watch this. It's right at like just a smidge over 15 minutes. And I believe you're going to be really blessed, not so much by this, but what the Lord's going to speak to you and I through this morning.
Exclusive club.
Only explorers get in here.
Not just any kid off the street with a helmet and a pair of goggles.
Do you think you got what it takes? Well, do you?
All right, you're in.
Welcome aboard.
What's wrong?
Can't you talk?
Hey, I don't bite. You and me, we're in a club now.
I saw where your balloon went.
Come on, let's go get it.
My name's Ellie. There it is. Well, go ahead.
Another human being ever in my life. You will have to swear you will not tell anyone. Cross your heart. Do it. My adventure book. You know him. Charles Munch. Explore. When I get big, I'm going where he's going. South America. It's like America, but south. Want to know where I'm gonna live? Paradise Falls, a land lost in time. I rip this right out of a library book. I'm gonna move my clubhouse there and park it right next to the falls.
Who knows what lives up there?
And once I get there, well, I'm saving these pages for all the adventures I'm gonna have.
You know, you don't talk very much. I like you.
Wow.
You get the printer, 4x optical zoom, Schneider lens, photo printer, SD card.
Good afternoon. My name is Russell, and I am a wilderness explorer in Tribe 54, Sweat Lodge 12. Are you in need of any assistance today, sir?
No.
I could help you cross the street.
No.
I could help you cross your yard.
No.
I could help you cross your porch.
No.
Well, I gotta help you cross something.
No, I'm doing fine.
Good afternoon. My name is Russell, and I am a wilderness explorer in Tribe 54.
Slow down.
Sweat Lodge 12.
Kid!
Are you in need of
Thank
any
you,
assistance
but I don't need
today?
Any help. Proceed.
Good afternoon.
Let's skip to the end.
See these? These are my Wilderness Explorer badges. You may notice one is missing. It's my Assisting the Elderly badge. If I get it, I will become a Senior Wilderness Explorer. The wilderness must be explored! Gah, gah! Rah! It's gonna be great. There's a big ceremony, and all the dads come, and they pin on our badges.
So, you want to assist an old person?
Yep. Then I'll be a senior wilderness explorer.
You ever heard of a snipe?
Snipe?
Bird. Beady eyes.
Snipe. Here, snipey, snipey.
Bring it back here when you find it.
No! Cinch with my Wilderness Explorer GPS.
GP what?
My dad gave it to me. It shows exactly where we are on the planet. Boop, beep, 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 boop, boop. With this baby, we'll never be lost. Oops.
I came all this way just to get stuck at the wrong end of this rock pile?
I don't want this anymore.
Russell? Russell!
I'm gonna help Kevin, even if you won't!
No, Russell, no!
For extreme mountaineering lore, congratulations, Jimmy. For wild animal defensive arts, congratulations, Brandon. For assisting the elderly, Russell, is there someone that,
Excuse me, pardon me, old man coming through. I'm here for him.
Congratulations, Russell, sir.
Russell, for assisting the elderly and for performing above and beyond the call of duty, I would like to award you the highest honor I can bestow, the Ellie Badge.
Anybody else like that movie?
Yes.
Says a few things, doesn't it? Says a few things. And what I want to talk about this morning is just about generations. God is a generational God. He's always been that way, the way he talks about himself and the way he talks about what's yet to come. Even from the very beginning, he's never called us to come to a certain destination. And we talked about this just a moment last week, but God's never called us to arrive. He's always called us to advance. You remember even back in the garden, he says, be fruitful and multiply. And even after Adam and Eve got put out of the garden, he still told them the same thing, be fruitful and multiply. But what happened was, is they set a destination. Remember, they went to a plain. They found a big field, if you will, and they said, we're going to build a name for ourselves here, the Tower of Babel. And they said, okay, this is what's going to bring fulfillment. This is what's going to, we're going to arrive here instead of advance. We're going to arrive. And anyway, and so, but what happens is, what I have found, and you can see it all through the Word, but whenever we set a destination instead of a mission, okay, when we try to get somewhere instead of do something, we leave people behind. And God's a generational God. And so really what we're talking about here more than anything else is, we don't even realize this, but it's actually spiritual. It's spiritual that because God is he works through families. The reason you're here right now is for more than just you, and it's more than just your 80 years here. But unless there is an exchange, unless there's relationships that are vital that God put in place, then what happens is it's kind of like all we are is just kind of like beep, just no, you know, just a blip here, a blip there. Not what we are created to be, not what God has designed. Matter of fact, I want to just point out here in Acts chapter 2, or I want you to see this in 1 Corinthians 11:1. He says this, he says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And you can see this all through the word that you're supposed, he picked Abraham because he knew he'd command his children. He knew that they'd have someone to follow. And here now Paul's telling the church of Corinth that, hey, guess what? Follow my example. We are always to be having examples to follow. But unless I have somebody there and they realize that they have an example, they carry something that I need. But I would even say this, when you look at the generations, when a child is really young, you carry something that you're not even aware of, that they want and that they need. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You've hung the moon. And I believe this. I believe we were walking around with these balloons. We're walking around carrying things all the time that we're not even aware of. We're not even aware of how valuable what I have, what you have, what I have to instill into somebody. I'm not just talking about, somebody that's 80 years old or 90 years old, or I'm talking about everyone here. Everyone here, if you're a teenager, you have something that you're carrying to the next generation, and even to those that are around you right now. I guarantee you, you could go back there and you could serve in first through fifth grade, our grade school class, and 80% of the kids would say, "I want what you have. I want what you have. I want what you have." But the question is, are we even aware of what we have? Are we aware? Are we aware of what we have? And I was going to kind of wrap up this message this morning with this. But, you know, so many times, we aren't aware of what we have. And it's just like that little kid. Look what I got. I got us all the way to South America. Remember the older gentleman? He didn't even know where they were at. What had happened, he'd gotten in a storm and life had taken him, you know, but it was a kid that found where he was at. It literally had the ability to stay and help him get to where he wanted to be. It was the little kid, but yet he didn't even realize what he had. And he said, I got this thing, and with this, we'll never be lost. Woo! Right? And the adult would go, why would you treat something so valuable so foolishly? Don't you know what you have? And the kid is in there saying, why don't you know what you have? I mean, you remember when he got that little patch and he said, wow. I tell you what, and you know, his dad wasn't there. You know, his dad was out of the picture. All right. So he tells us to follow an example as he follows Christ. All right. Second Acts 2:17. I think this is interesting. In the last days, he says, I'm going to pour out my spirit, not just on this generation, but what does he say? He says, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all people. He says, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Go on. It says, your young men will dream dreams. It says, your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. What that shows me, it shows me there's something about all of them being present. All of them being present. And what I mean by being, I'm not saying present like just in the same room. I'm saying moving and working together. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. The Bible tells us this. And you know, it's interesting how generations, the world even names generations like they're different. Oh, well, you don't understand because you're a boomer, baby boomer. Oh, you're Generation X. Okay. Oh, you're a millennial. No. Let me tell you what we are. We're children of God that have a Father, and we are meant to be in relationship with one another. But when we chase a destination rather than chasing a calling, when we're more concerned about where we're gonna get there instead of what we're to be doing. What happens is we leave people, we just forget people. You get just so focused on getting there. And then when you get there, I mean, he had to pull out the picture. He's like, is this really what it was looking like? I mean, wait a minute. Walk to the edge and say, okay. And he looked at it, and it just didn't hold, because a picture doesn't hold what it promises. Only people do. Amen. Only people do. Jesus even said, or the Lord even said this, he said he realized this. He said, but in order, this is in Ephesians chapter 5, he tells us that God had to do something to satisfy his love. Like, in order to be satisfied, in order to be fulfilled, it's not about anything. Things aren't bad. Don't misunderstand me at all. But the goal should not be to get somewhere where I can be about me. I can't wait till I get there. And then us two to be able to travel the world. So it can just be us, and then we can live. That's not living. That's not living. The life is found. And so the world says you get somewhere so you can be about you. And God says, I want to get you somewhere that you can be about others. Because that's where life is. And you remember he even turned the book and he didn't realize he was living that whole time. He was trying to get somewhere. And when he got there, it was empty. And it wasn't until he looked back and he said, this is what she valued? Why didn't I value that way too? Why wasn't that the treasure? But Jesus said this in Ephesians 2, 4 through 5, and this is out of the Amplified Classic Version. It's one I read out of. It says, but God, so rich in his mercy, because and in order to satisfy. You know, God wants you fulfilled. If he wants to be fulfilled, he wants you to be fulfilled. He did something. In order to satisfy his love, he had to send his son. And he had to give himself for it. And the fact of the matter is, the only thing that'll bring fulfillment, the only thing, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart, the only thing that'll satisfy us is what satisfies the Father. Amen. Oh, it's people. It's the people around us. It's being aware of this. And Charles Spurgeon said this. He says, the greatest work that you'll ever do for Christ often won't be seen until 30 years later. Think about that. The greatest work that you'll ever do. And he tells a story about a young, or not a young lady, he was a young man, about a lady at where he went to school. And she was the housekeeper or the janitor at the time. And so he tells the story. He says she was very sweet, good, strong Calvinistic doctrine, but she lived strongly and as well as fed strongly. Many a time we had gone over the covenant of grace together and talked of the personal election of the saints, their union with Christ, their final perseverance, and what vital godliness meant. And I do believe, and here's what he says, this I think is so significant. I do believe I learned more. I do believe that she shaped me more than any of the six doctors of divinity in all of my years of schooling. This janitor, the housekeeper that saw something in this young man, that saw something. I don't know if you and I are looking for fulfillment, it's going to be found in seeing something in others. Always. Yeah. Always. And so let's keep on going here. And the reason why is because this is what, if you have received Christ, the Bible says the old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You're not even like what they would call a butterfly from a caterpillar. You're completely something different. You know the DNA has completely changed. And so the way you will be satisfied, what you'll desire, everything that will actually produce fulfillment is completely different. And see, he calls you something. He calls you salt. He calls you light. Both of these things do something. They influence. They influence. And unless you're influencing, unless you're doing what you were created to do, you will not be satisfied. Never will you be satisfied. As a matter of fact, you can't be satisfied. And I think this is something to, worth looking at in Acts. I was thinking about becoming like, who's an example? He says, follow my example. Follow my example as I follow Christ. Who is it? Where is there a picture of someone that we could follow an example? And I began to think, and all through the Word, it's like you have Abraham, you have Isaac, you have David, you have Elijah with Elijah with Elisha. You have so many people. You could use Jesus. You could use so many people. But I came upon one that Luke, one of the disciples, okay, one of the disciples that wrote the Gospel of Luke, and he also wrote Acts, that he wrote something about someone that most often there wasn't anything written about one of the disciples. Nothing powerful, nothing like really descriptive about, you know, it wasn't like, oh, this guy was the man. He was so full of faith. He was this. Matter of fact, John wrote about himself. He was the one that Jesus loved. But there's not a whole lot of excerpts about somebody other than you can see that Peter has a big mouth. You can see that Peter was bold because of what but it wasn't written. Now, Peter was bold and he believed God. It doesn't say that anywhere. We can take stories, but Luke says something about somebody that's really interesting. And it's found in Acts 11:24. He says, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. So he talks about this a person. He says, this man was good. This man right here. And how many of you know that for someone that had been with Jesus and had been with so many people that just, I mean, like God people, you know what I'm talking about? Generals of faith, right? Luke says, this one had something special about him. This one was a good man. There was something right about him. And I thought it would be good to look at that because who is this man that he talks about? And what was it that caused him to be good? Well, it was his faith. It says he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit, right? Full of the Spirit and faith. Well, we know that he was full of the Holy Spirit because he was full of faith, because the Word of God is what brings faith, and how many of you know the Spirit of God accompanies the Word of God? So in order for him to be good, all of that roots back to where his faith. And so let's just talk just a moment about faith. I wrote a few thoughts down. Faith still feels the wonder of being accepted by God. Think about this. Faith still feels the wonder. And, you know, just because you've been used by God, just because doesn't mean that you're going to continue to be used by God. Because past obedience doesn't mean future obedience. Your call doesn't end until like it says with David, it says until he served the purposes of God until he breathed his last breath. Amen. God's purposes with us don't end. What often ends is my yes can end at any moment. But faith. So that's where I ask myself, am I still in faith? Am I still in faith? Because if I'm in faith, I will be full of the Holy Spirit, and I will be this good man. I will be I don't even want to be something that's good. You're like, everybody wants to end up in, yeah, good. Yeah, that was a good, yeah, good. Everybody wants that. I think it would be good if we had this. I think everybody wants something good. Everybody does. But what is the key to getting that? It's being full of faith. Well, being full of faith still has this that you still carry the wonder of what it is to be saved. So you still carry the wonder, the wonder like the wow, that God would come for me. But it's easy to lose that. It's easy to lose the wonder when your wonder now no longer, because this is the deal. This is what this good man. That we're going to talk about in a moment. This man, his dreams were not like the world's dreams. Like, what am I talking about? When you close your eyes and you have moments to dream, do you and I dream and follow the world's dreams, or do we follow God's dreams? What am I talking about? Are my dreams materialistic? Or are my dreams about people? I mean, this is a straight up like, wow, you really, Pastor Nate, you're going to call me out on me wanting something? No, I'm not calling you out on anything. I'm saying, what are my dreams? Because if my dreams, again, it's spiritual. If my dreams are about a picture, a place, or a thing, what those dreams are doing, they're planning and they're promising me fulfillment, and they cannot. They are to be a blessing. They are not to be chased. God doesn't tell us to. God does not tell us to chase the blessing. Matter of fact, He says the blessing is to chase us. He says, if you follow the voice of the Lord your God, He said, all these blessings are all going to overtake you. They're to be running me down. I'm to seek first what He says, and He says that He'll do all the adding to me. But if I'm chasing something, well, I'll follow you. I'll do this. When I get there, I'll make some more memories. When I get there, the things I will do when I get there, the problem was He never got there. When I get there. And so what am I dreaming? This is a question. What am I dreaming? What am I dreaming? It all depends on if I still have the wonder. Do you still have the wonder? Do I still have the wonder? And, you know, it's really easy to lose the wonder. And we were at a conference a few weeks ago, and there was a story or analogy, rather, that Pastor Willie George used, and I thought it was a phenomenal analogy. And it was about three generations. It was about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It was about the young infant, the teenager, and the father, and he talked about it as how that is in the church today, not just in age. It's definitely an age, but it's in the church today, as in how long you've been with Christ. And he talked about how it's like Christmas. It's like Christmas, and he used the Christmas analogy. And how many of you know Christmas is so, it's the most wonderful time of the year, right? Why? Not just because, you know, everyone's saying be of good cheer, but it's the most wonderful time of the year because people begin to think and they begin to wonder, not what am I going to get, but what can I give? That's the most wonderful time of the year is, you've heard that, it's more blessed to give than receive. It's more blessed to give than receive. That's why that time of the year becomes so great, because when you begin to think of what can I give, something happens. And anyway, and so this was the analogy he used. He said, you know, if we're going to fulfill the, and I'm going to use it my way now, if we're going to fulfill the plan of God for our lives, we can't lose the wonder. We can't lose the wonder. And what happens is, he said, he used this analogy, when you first get born again, God has something for you every day. Every day you come into church, it's like, Pastor was reading my mail. I mean, he spoke right to me, and the Holy Spirit will always speak to you if you're just, because it's not pastor that's speaking anyway. It's the Holy Spirit that's taking a message and tailor-fitting it just for you because He loves you. But as you, but so you're saved and you're born, you're sitting in church and you're there for 2, 3, 4 years, and all of a sudden, you know, it's like the messages just aren't, it's like quite as good. You know, it's like, you know, the likes on Facebook and the sharing of the message on Facebook, it hasn't changed. The message hasn't changed, just how you're hearing it has changed. It's lost its wonder. It's that Christmas and opening up the present every day under the tree. And, you know, when you're a baby, he was telling how his son would, you know, when he was 1 year old, he'd let him open up the present every day, all of December. And then they'd rewrap it, and every day it was a new gift. It was the same gift, but it was a new gift. But then when you hit those teenage years, you're just like, I'll have that pair of jeans and that and that and that. Because you know what you're going to get. I mean, you know what you're going to get. Loses all. I mean, you kind of lose joy at Christmas holidays, and you're kind of like, oh, family's coming over. Okay, cool. I'm going to put the headphones on and go upstairs. You know what I'm talking about? That teen, like, it just, you just, there's no anticipation. There's no excitement. You know why? And this is because we haven't moved into the stage that we're supposed to, which is God's ultimate. He wants us to be a father. He wants us to be to the stage that where I'm here to give. Amen. Who can I give to? Who can I give to? Well, I don't have any. No, listen, it's not money. You always have something to give. Matter of fact, the most powerful thing, one of the most powerful things you and I could carry is the ability to see the gift in somebody. That's the most powerful, to be able to see the gift in somebody. Can I see the gift? And so, but I'd have to ask myself that question, you know, because sometimes you can grow really fast and you could just plateau. 20 years, you can plateau. And then you're looking for something to get you that feeling again. And there is nothing, listen, there's not a God service that'll get you that feeling that'll last for the week. But there's something you can be about every day. You can be mindful of every moment that'll get you from walking to the door and just tired in the things of God and get you running to the door, grabbing the rock, whoo, string, and grabbing the chair. I mean, I didn't see any creak in him. The passion. Why? Somebody else. And this is what faith is. It's the wonder. It's the wonder of how good God is. It's the wonder. It's there's something that within every person, if you're born again, if you're saved, there's something on the inside of you that's constantly thinking about the others. The fact that you came across because of the cross, you're more mindful. What you're mindful of is who's on the other side. That's the truth. And otherwise, I have to ask myself, where faith, I wrote this, faith gets gets that God built a bridge between me and him, constructed with the cross of his own son. Faith's greatest concern is for those on the other side. Hey, guys, this is the victory that overcomes what you're facing in this world, even our faith. What is faith's greatest concern? It's not yourself. What about me will cause you and me, tell you what it'll cause you and me, to bow out. It'll cause you and me not to stay in this place called being patient. And the Bible says that in Hebrews, it tells us we need patience. And he says, let patience, have its perfect work so that we might be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. It's about patience. How can I stay the course? You be about faith. Well, what is faith? A concern not about me, but instead about what God said. He said, for the joy set before him, he endured. He was able to stay in the race, be patient, and he didn't bow out because of what faith. I tell you, what is faith? So let's look at this guy's name. His name's Barnabas. His name's Barnabas. And, you know, we hear about Paul, we hear about Matthew, Mark, Luke, we hear about these guys. But Barnabas, the only time you really hear about him, or that you think, is when you hear Barnabas and Saul, or Paul and Barnabas. And it's interesting, we're going to look at that, and it says, and this guy was a good man. He was full of the Holy Spirit and faith. Now, his name is actually Joseph, Acts 4:36. And so we're going to look at him just for a minute because it's like, what can I learn from him? There's something that he carried. And it says this in Acts 4:36. It says, Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. They changed his name. He said he was a Levite of the tribe of Levi. He was one that assisted the priests. He was in the house of God all the time. He was in the house of God the whole time. And it says that he was a native of Cyprus, and he was generous. And he was generous. There's something, did you see what happened when, you know, every day of his life, what did it show? Sweeping that room, straightening the chair, dusting the stuff. It was about the stuff. Matter of fact, when the little boy was poking him on the chin, he said, well, after you tied all your stuff down, you fell asleep, and I thought you were dead. After you tied all your stuff down, after you cleaned all your stuff, what was he watching on TV after he was all depressed? More stuff, the shopping network. It's like that new lens is going to do it, or that new bow, or that new set of clubs, or that new pair of shoes, or that new whatever. It's not going to do it. That's right. It's not going to do it. But he's sitting there, and he's like, it's still not going to do it, but I'm going to buy something. It's not going to do it. Yeah. Yeah. But what happened was is he began to push his stuff off the front porch. You see that? He threw the chair, and then something hit his eyes. And then he starts throwing all the stuff off, and all of a sudden, the house begins to rise, and you saw him go, woohoo! The stuff had held no grip any longer, and he was able to go after what really mattered. Well, that's the same thing you see in Barnabas. It says he was called the son of encouragement. He was generous. It says he sold the plot of land, and he came and laid all of it at the disciples' feet. Wow. That's not tithing. Let me just say that. That's not waiting to get there to do something. That's understanding the reason why you're here. And I'm not saying go sell all your stuff. I'm saying... So he carried something. He carried a purpose. He was about a mission. And it goes on and in Acts 9, and I think this is one of the greatest pictures you can see of him. It says that when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were afraid of him. This is talking about Saul, okay? How many remember Saul? He was on the road to Damascus, right? And he was going there, and he is right after Stephen's death, or I think after Stephen's death. You think this is after Stephen's death? Anyway, Saul was about killing Christians. He was the henchman, one of the henchmen of the high priest, probably the lead axe man. All right, and he's going around killing people. And all of a sudden, the Lord shows up to him while he's on his horse. He gets thrown off the horse, and he says, Jesus says, "Why are you persecuting me?" And so he's there for a couple of days, and when he gets his sight back, when the Lord heals him of his sight, he goes into the temple and he begins to preach Jesus. And this is what happened to me. And he has a testimony. But it says here in Acts 9:26, and when they had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples. So here's Saul wanting to be a part. God changed my life. My past is terrible. I don't even want to talk about it. If you knew some of the things I have done. But they were afraid of him. And they didn't want to believe he was a disciple. They said, nah. But it says this. It says, but Barnabas. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached and boldly in the name of Jesus. The ability to see and call out what's in others is one of the greatest gifts you can possess. It's one of the greatest things you can have. See the gift in them. So I want to talk about four things that Barnabas carried. If you and I would carry this, if we would recognize this, my joy level would go from here to here. Why? Because faith, what accompanies faith is the fruit of the Spirit. Joy, peace, patience, gentleness. All the things you're really looking for that even a hole-in-one cannot provide. Even a 200-inch buck cannot provide. Even a house that you own on the beach cannot provide. I don't know what it is that you think, what your picture is. Let me tell you, that's not it. That's right. Let me break that to you. Let me take the blinders off, because it is spiritual. And we're talking more. Here's the deal. The church has been so deceived into thinking that Christianity is about a destination when it's about destinies. What do I mean by that? When you get born again, guys, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. In other words, it's like wax with the imprint. It cannot be opened. Nothing else is getting inside. You're saved. Thank you, Jesus. You're going to heaven. Glory to God. But he says this. He tells us not. He says, but don't lay for yourself up treasures here on earth. Lay for yourself treasures up in heaven. And he goes on to say, there's so many parables. It says, what you do here determines what you do there. Because it's not, Christianity is not about a destination. It's about destinies. And you hearing, well done. And you being able to, he says, you've been faithful over little, I will make you ruler over much. I was texting, I think I don't have my phone. I was texting the other day and just talking about faithfulness and how God, I can't remember the exact words that we, just pull that up if you don't mind. But just about how good your faithfulness can bring you. Let me read it exactly. She has it too. We have a group thread, you know, all that. This is good. We can be. You all can wait. It's worth it. Okay, there it is. Thank you, Lord. We get some places because, I turned the phone. We get some places because we trust God. We get other places because God trusts us. We get some places, and this is just, we're talking about faithfulness, and that whole thing was brought out of a conversation about how your gift will make room for you. And so many times people think it's their talent that makes room for them. When that scripture is talking about that, and Proverbs is talking about when you go to see a king, make sure you bring a gift. Because if you don't, you won't be seen. And if you don't bring a good gift, you won't be seen. You don't bring the king 2 turtle doves, you bring him 20 camels. And he said, and so we were talking about how it's actually... what was that? I took some time to write this statement. What was it? Read it again. It's at the bottom. God will bring. This is something. We got to get this. I'm telling you. I got to get it more in me. You can all. It says this. We get some places because we trust God. We get other places because God trusts us. And here on this earth, we can get some places because we trust God by your faith. But there's things that God wants to do with you and me that he can only give to us because he trusts us. Because you want the 5, but you didn't do with the 1. Listen, the faithfulness, and this is what, it's not about a destination. Christianity is not about a destination. It's about destinies. And you seeing the value in what God calls valuable is the only way you're going to be working on the right thing. I wonder what we're burying. And this isn't supposed to be a hard message. This is supposed to be I want fulfillment. Yeah, that's that joy. That's what I've been looking for. Yeah, I'm not finished. Yeah, I've just begun. Yeah, God has, right now. Oh, I have something for them. Lord, show me what I carry. Oh, I see that in them. And so here's what Barnabas, these 4 things, Acts 11, 22 through 26. It says, this report came. The report of them came to the ears of the church of Jerusalem. And so this is going on, and he says, they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came, it says, when he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad and and exhorted them all to remain faithful of the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch for a whole year there, or that they met with the church and taught a great many people. So I want to dissect that piece. They said, right in the middle of that, you see he was a good man. You see he was a man full of the Spirit. You see he was a man full of faith. But number one, he says this. It says, when a report came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, guess who they found? Somebody that was willing. It says, when it came, they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And it says, and when he came, hey, will you go? Here I am, send me. You know what Barnabas says? You know what he understood? I'm not my own. Number one, if you're gonna follow in the footsteps of someone, he says, look at the one that has gone before. Ask for the way he's gone back when you stand across crossroads. What does he say? He says, remember this, you're not your own. If we know that, if we get this, we're not our own. We've been bought. This is faith. And I've been bought with a price. Yeah. I've been bought with a price. I get to glorify God in my body. It's better to serve in the courts of the king than to rule in my own palace. And then he goes on to say, so they sent Barnabas to Antioch, and when he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad. Here's what Barnabas was always looking for. He rejoiced where grace could be found. If you and I want to have joy in our lives, if you and I want to live a life of fulfillment, if you and I want to arrive at and fulfill our destinies, we must learn to rejoice where grace can be found. When the embers of grace are in, you know, beginning to stir in somebody's life, that we should blow on them rather than dump a bucket of cold water on them. He went to this place. He was sent. There was a great number. There's a work going on. And so he comes to the town and he saw grace. You know what that means? The Bible says that Paul, and I believe he probably got this from Barnabas, because Barnabas was like a father to him. Matter of fact, it says that even the people in Greece, they said that he was like Zeus, or Barnabas was like Zeus, and Paul was like his son, Hermes, or Jupiter or Mercury. Or Jupiter and Venus, the one that was a father figure, one had a role. He was a well-built, what we can tell, a well-built man that carried himself as the father, but the younger one spoke, and the older one, Barnabas, just nodded in approval. That's the picture that's painted as they went about. But what Barnabas, I believe he instilled into Paul was this: where sin abounds, grace abounds more. He rejoiced when he saw grace. It says he saw grace and he was glad. Listen, you can only see the grace of God, which is good, getting what you don't deserve. Oh, I'll tell you what. Grace. Getting that where there's sin. Jesus said, I was sent not to the whole, I was sent to the hurting. So he rejoiced when he saw somebody that was in need of grace. Man, can you believe that sin? Man, they ought to know better than that. Because look how good I am. Look how holy I am. Are you serious?
Amen.
But you're looking down instead of lifting up. Total difference. When you see the person on the street corner passing judgment or lifting up, Lord, open their eyes. Oh, you opened my eyes? Okay, maybe that's, I saw them. Again, my eyes have never laid eyes on somebody that didn't matter to Jesus.
Amen.
And so, number one is this: you're not your own. Number two, you're going to have to rejoice where grace can be found. And so, it's like, glory to God, because where sin abounds, grace abounds more. God's there. He's there to heal. Let me just tell you, you want to see miracles? Get out of the house.
Amen.
Go answer the door. Maybe what you're looking for is just right outside the door. And then he goes on to say, it says this, it saw the grace of God, and he was glad. And it says, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. This is the sign of a good man. This is a sign of a father. This is a sign of a generation. He didn't coddle, he encouraged. Total difference. He said, this is the truth, and he spoke it in love. If we're going to be a good, we got to be able to speak the truth. The truth in you, not distributed, what is it for? Why do you read the word every day? Well, why are you a wealth of the word so you can talk about it with your friend or your spouse or your two significant others? Why? Because they don't need more truth. Who needs truth? Who needs light? It's that whole grace thing. It's the whole finding the person that has grace. It's got to be coming out. It's got to be coming out to somebody. So here's what he said. He encouraged them, and he encouraged them with what? He encouraged them, he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. He says, you have a purpose, and I want to see it robbed. God has a call on your life. And he spoke the truth in love, because it's the only thing that keeps somebody free. The love of God never keeps somebody bound, never allows them to stay bound. It will always speak the truth in love. It will always exhort, not coddle. Always. It's one thing. You got to be, if you're an encourager, you have to be mindful of this, that you don't say it's okay. You instead say, You love them and you point them in the right way. Amen. Don't just say it's okay, because the wages of sin is death and condemnation, and you can they can be saved and still go to heaven but not fulfill their destiny. Why didn't you tell me? Can you imagine hearing this in heaven? Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you? I mean, you were, but why didn't you tell me? I mean, you loved me, right? Oh, yeah, I loved you. It goes on to say, it was exhorted with sepers. It says, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and great many people were added to the Lord. So he saw the gift, is what I would say. And so Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And there he was with him for a whole year. It's interesting, a whole year. A whole year. He saw the gift. And he was willing to invest in the gift. How many times do we see a treasure? Do we see something valuable? And we're willing to invest in it. Matter of fact, we'll take our life savings and invest in that. Because it's valuable. Paul says, we see here, in Luke wrote, that Barnabas saw Saul as valuable. And he says, I'm willing to go there. I'm willing to leave where I am here. I'm willing to make the adjustment in my life to make sure I can reach this younger one because I see a gift in him that needs to be developed. And some of the greatest works that we do for God won't be seen for 30 years. And this is the picture of Barnabas. It's a picture of Barnabas not only looking down to a younger generation in Saul, and when he called him and he taught him, it says they said the disciples said, now to separate us unto ministry, Saul or Barnabas and Saul. And what you saw for a while was Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas and Saul, until Acts chapter 13, something switched. It wasn't Saul any longer, it was Paul. And then it became Paul and Barnabas. And Barnabas was able to still stay engaged and still stay in the game, even though it was now Paul and Barnabas, and Paul was the main speaker. He still was like a mechanic on the airplane, even though he was no longer the pilot. He enabled that plane to be in the air. But he wasn't, the pilot got the credit, but the mechanic made sure it got to the destination. So he did that with the younger, but then we know that on the missionary journey, you remember Saul and Barnabas at the time, Barnabas said, let's take Mark. And halfway through the first journey, what happens is Mark bails. He bails. And that's a frustrating thing, and they finish their journey. And on the second missionary journey, what happened was is Barnabas said, let's bring Mark again. And Paul says, there ain't no way I'm bringing that guy. There's no way I'm going to bring somebody that is going to quit. And da 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 da. And Barnabas said, and they end up separating. And so what happened was is Paul took Silas, and then Barnabas said, I'm going to take Mark. And so now you had two missionary expeditions going on. And Barnabas invested into John Mark or into Mark. He invested into him. And Mark was his cousin. So it's a peer. It's a level. He invested. He saw the gift in him, and he was willing to invest in what was a level, more of a level playing field, if you will. And so, what happened to Mark? Well, he wrote one of the Gospels, but he was a failure. See that? See what seeing the gift in somebody can do? Help them fulfill their destiny right here. Help somebody fulfill and be what they're called to be. Not only was that, but now you see in Timothy, 2 Timothy, Paul is now in jail. And he says, there's nobody with me. Bring me Mark, because he's useful to me. What? I'm telling you, seeing the gift in somebody, calling it out, willing to invest, send them feet up. I'm telling you, this is the gospel. This is the good news. This is the hope to which we've all been called. Listen, there is no picture that can produce the hope, can produce what you're looking for. Those things are great. He'll add them to you because he loves you. But if you want to be fulfilled in life, you're going to have to live a life of faith and recognize what you have, what you and I have. We're carrying it all the time. There's a message. There's a message is this, that God so loved you, he had to move and send his son Jesus while we were yet in sin because he loved us and he has a plan for us, and you're here. God not only loves you, he wants you, and he has a plan and a destiny. He wants to use you right now. Yeah, but you don't know how to, let me tell you, great, God's grace is abounding more right now. Let me tell you, you got to see, and the number one was this, not your own. Number two, rejoice where grace can be found. Number two, speak the truth in love. And number four, see the gift. You're not your own. Rejoice where grace is found. Speak the truth in love. And see the gift. See the gift. Because the fact of the matter is, I got to worship with one of my kids this morning. I see these kids on the front row. I see young men serving. I see my kid. I see Seth. I see Drew. I see youth. We just got done with camp. I see the picture. And I go back to Acts chapter 2. And it talks about young men and young women. But it says old men or men, older men, will dream dreams. But the younger men will see visions. And a vision is not a dream. A vision is what God shows you, and he gives you also a plan. In other words, you're going to see it. But older men might not see everything they see in their heart. But the younger generation, we'll get them there. But if there's not that investment, if there's not that value for one another, we'll stop short. We won't live a life of fulfillment, and neither will they. And I look at these young guys, and I think about that picture of the GPS. And if you could have watched the movie as many times as I did, you would realize he had no idea where he was. He knew where he wanted to go. He just didn't know how to get there. But there was a young man came along whom he didn't even invite, but found him and helped him find and realize his dream. Had a GPS. He had the way. He had a plan. I just believe that God set everyone here on this earth for such a time as this, and the generation, we have to reach down and invest. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your grace and your mercy that one would find our porch. But let's get off our porch. Let's realize that we're carrying, and I got these for everybody at the end of service. They've got suckers on the end because I want you to take one. Maybe in your car for the kid in the neighborhood. And it could be, they don't have to be kid. It can be any age. But one that you see a gift in. One that you think, I gotta invest in this generation because there's things in me that God puts stuff in me. And I gotta make sure that they get that part too. And not only that, it's gonna cause me to have to sharpen my arrows, so that they stick. Sharpen what I have to say. And so as iron sharpens iron, we're going to be sharpening one another. And one's going to take, it's going to be this propelling into the destinies and the callings and the plan of God. Because of what? Because of honor for each other. Because of recognizing the gift that you and I carry. It's Jesus. And that's where it's all found. That's where the joy is found. And I thought this was interesting. When we unite things, when we unite what we carry, it has the ability to move, you know, just like the house, the immovable. Immovable. But when we come together, and that's even the picture of the church. It's like that. It's like coming together. I mean, you got gifts of keys. You got gifts of just so many gifts. Encouragers, those that see something in somebody, the right word, the hug. I mean, there's some of you that have been given the gift to give financially, to say, you know what, that's a grace on my life to do that. Use it fully. Leverage it. Be aware that that's what you carry. Be aware that what I carry is the word in season to somebody. Well, then be aware and be looking. Looking for embers of grace to call somebody up and to call them out and to help launch them into their destinies. Carry these everywhere you go, because somebody wants, somebody needs what you and I have. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to ask if we just could close our eyes and bow our heads. I'm going to pray a prayer here in a second just about opening our eyes. And if I would ask that you'd be in agreement, or you would pray the prayer with me if you are. Not out loud, but just in your heart. I'm going to pray a prayer about opening our eyes to see the hope, to see what we've been called to. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we bow our heads, we bow our hearts before you. And we pray that the eyes of our understanding, that they would be enlightened, that they would be opened, that we would see clear, that we'd see new, the hope to which we've been called. Open our eyes, Father. We tell you that we're willing. Help us to see the grace in people, to speak the truth in love, and to see the gift that not only is in others, but Lord, let us see the gift that's on the inside of us, and how to leverage that for your kingdom, for your glory. And we thank you that as we're about your business, you're taking care of ours. Lord, you're satisfying our mouth with good things, and we can rejoice in that. We can rest in that. Thank you for bringing light to us today. And thank you for illuminating those that we're to carry a gift to. We thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. This morning, before we're dismissed, this is what we're carrying. This is why we're here in church. If you're here this morning and you've not met Jesus, if you've not surrendered your heart to Jesus, and you're here this morning, you say, I came to the church and that's what I want more than anything. I need to get right with God. Lift your hand up in the air. That's you this morning. I don't see any hands. Lift it up. Hi. Sometimes I have people bow their heads. Sometimes I have, you know, it's all different. But if you're needing to get your heart right with Jesus, lift your hand. Thank you, Lord. You know what that means? We got to get out of the house. It means we got to get out of the house. And that the empty seat next to you, those are a big deal. Got to get out of the house. Look to your neighbor and say, get out of the house. That means, tell them, that means you. Tell them, say, that means you. And then say, that means me. That means me, Pastor Nate. Ask a question. When was the last time you gave the gift of Jesus? When was the last time you gave the gift of Jesus that's able to take and pick somebody up out of the pit and set their feet on a rock? When was the last time? I'd have to venture, for many of us in here, years. Years. And those that have been saved for years. Years. And so that was this prayer this morning. Restore unto me the joy, the wonder, the power of my salvation, let my eyes be about the call and not the destination. Amen? Amen. As you guys are dismissed this morning, we have a bunch of balloons with candies on them at the door. And I want to encourage you, even our children here, not just as a mom and dad, you know, find somebody that's different than just your child that you can speak words of life into, or you can just tell them how precious they are. Or maybe it's somebody in your neighborhood, or maybe it's a coworker. Maybe put it in your car. I hope it talks to you all week long. And I hope if you forget, you see it waving in the rearview mirror. Because here's why. This whole message was simply about this. Your joy, your hope is found in delivering hope. Amen? Guys, we're not done. Nobody's done. It's all, the best is yet to come. I don't care how far you've come. The best is yet to come. Glory to God. Amen. God bless you guys as you go. If you need a healing in your body, come on up after service. We'd love to lay hands on you, see God work a miracle in your life just as we